Well, last week I started a series that I titled Our Perfect Redemption, and it's dealing with Jesus Christ, our Passover, right? And I shared the background of what the Passover is. You remember how that came about when Moses was working with the Pharaoh to get his children out of Egypt back to the promised land. That was so critical to get back to the promised land. And so the final plague, the 10th one, where the angel of death, the firstborn of human beings and the animals, would die with this angel of death. And so God instructed the children of Israel to sacrifice a lamb of the first year, and they would cook it, eat that the meat of the lamb, and then they sprinkled the blood on the lintel, the post, doorpost, and the sacrifice, and we see it throughout the Old Testament as a model of what God was looking to do for mankind through his Son in the future, to redeem him. And the spilling of blood is the payment for sins. And so the angel of death would pass over them, and that's the Passover, okay? And they would celebrate that every year. And now Jesus Christ was our Passover, and Easter season, we celebrate what he did to die for us, and then God raised him from the dead. And so it's an interesting time as we read the scriptures about how Jesus Christ dealt with this and what happened during those days before he gave himself over to be crucified. And everything parallels with the timing of the Passover lamb. They would choose the lamb several days, I think it was a few days before they would kill it, and they would prepare it. It would be called the day of preparation. And so they would do that. But Jesus Christ gave himself over as the Passover lamb at that same time, and he died at the exact same time they were killing the Passover lamb. So God's timing is phenomenal. Pretty neat. So what I'd like to do is pick up the story in the gospel of these last times, and this would be that Monday of the week, knowing that he died on a Wednesday afternoon and God raised him from the dead sometime on Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. So Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon. So he was raised up sometime late Saturday afternoon. He wasn't discovered until
Sunday morning
real early that he had been raised from the dead. So now I know traditionally in our culture and many churches, they talk about Good Friday is when he died and he rose on Sunday morning. Well, the scriptures said he would be in the earth how long?
Three days
and three nights as Jonah was in the whale's belly. Well, you can't get, can't do it. The math doesn't work. So there's been some great studies that we're most familiar with where we see that Wednesday was that day that he died. But let's take a look at the book of John, chapter 20, or Luke, I'm sorry, Luke 22. And we just want to read About this time, these last few days, what happened and what went on, and just to see how people responded and what Jesus Christ had to do, and what the followers, how they responded to these last few days. So in Luke 22, we'll pick it up in verse 3. Then entered Satan unto Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. We know who that guy was, right? Mm-hmm. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenant to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. You know, he couldn't turn them over with the large groups of people in the temple area, so he had to, you know, figure out a time where there was only a few folks around to turn him in, okay, pass him on, to let the chief priest know where he was exactly so that they could capture him. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him. Verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. Okay, so this was the upcoming Passover coming up. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water, follow him into the house where he entered in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found, as he had said, unto them, and they made ready the Passover. So they were getting prepared. This was the preparation for the Passover. It was not the day of the Passover, but the preparation for it. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Again, this is before the Passover. This is a meal. I know the King James, you might think he's talking about the Passover, but it's not. And he took the cup, and he divided among themselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. You know, what was he developing? Something here that churches do all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
Communion. Yeah. So, for the remembrance. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, verse 20, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So he's sharing with them this action that they could do, that they would remember his broken body and shed blood, which we call communion. Verse 21, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. So obviously Jesus knew what was going on. He knew who was going to betray him. and he was with them right there. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted what?
The
greatest. Here Jesus Christ was about to give himself over to die for all mankind. He gives them this communion, this thing to that could be used in the future for remembering this great act of his broken body and shed blood. And now they're talking about who's going to betray you? Oh, and when you're gone, who's going to be the greatest? Very typical of man, huh? Mm-hmm. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth what? Serve. That's what is most important, is service. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I'm among you as he that serves. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, what a privilege these guys are going to have. And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know, Peter, we know in the future, would play an important role in the church from Pentecost. And boy, Satan knew that Peter was an important person. So it was quite a spiritual battle. Verse 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee. This is Peter talking, both into prison and to death. And he said, Jesus saying, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt three times deny that thou knowest me. So he's telling Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And there's some other situations where he denies Jesus as well. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? Remember, he sent them out to go witness and don't take a bunch of stuff with you. And they went out and they had a great, exciting time. And they said nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, at the Mount of Olives, obviously, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What was Jesus Christ asking the Father?
You don't want
to
do it.
He would not have to go through the torture and the pain and the ugly death of the crucifixion. Oh my gosh. He didn't want to go through that. But, you know, he was going to do the will of the Father. And we know in John chapter 17 is a great parallel record of what we're reading here that's in more detail. Well, verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And of course, this was Judas's opportunity. He knew, I guess, that they liked at night to go to this area. And so Judas obviously went to the high priest, and they, with the soldiers, went to meet Jesus. And Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? Are we ready to fight it out with these guys? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. You know who that was, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
In another record, I believe that was Peter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Jesus answered and said, suffer you thus far? And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priest and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves?
Mm-hmm.
When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hand against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Wow. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. So this was late at night. And so Peter's kind of following along, seeing what's going to happen. And they started a little fire. And verse 56, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. You know, saying, hey, this guy, I knew him. He was Jesus' follower. And what did he do?
Denied him.
And he denied him, verse 57, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Little denials going on here. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidentially affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. What did Jesus say? Yeah. And the Lord turned, you know, this is for the drama here. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Mm-hmm. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And during this night trial, which was totally illegal, according to the Jewish law and the Roman law, you don't try anybody at night. But they did. And they mocked him. They smote him. These were the Judean guards and leaders doing this. Not the Romans yet, but these were the Judean hierarchy doing this. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. It's pretty ugly what he had to go through here for a number of hours. And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ?" So now they're going to try him that next day. And I believe this would have been on Tuesday. I'm not sure, but I think so. "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Wow. "Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, You say that I am. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard his own mouth. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate." Now, who's Pilate? He's the governor of the area, right? The Roman representative. "And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was in Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, You have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one of them at the feast. And traditionally during this Passover feast time, they would let someone go. The Roman authorities would let a prisoner go to appease the people of that area there. So he was saying, hey, I'll let this guy go. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and the chief priest prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. In other words, they let Barabbas go, but to Jesus they did what the Judean leaders desired. So this was the point of time where Jesus would again suffer under the Roman soldiers, and again another night, all night long, and then that next day, Wednesday, he'd be let out and crucified. So he suffered just many, many hours of agony, torture, all kinds of horrible things. But he did it for us. He did it for all mankind. And it's quite an act for him to have done that, our Lord and Savior, for doing this for us. And we can be very grateful and thankful that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right?
Yeah.
So that we could be born again of his Spirit later on, huh? Well, we'll finish the story next Wednesday, or we'll go a little bit further on this. And so next Wednesday will be what? Will be that day. Is that right? Yeah, it will be that Wednesday before Easter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be that when we meet next week Wednesday. That would be the time that late afternoon is when he gave up the ghost. He died on the cross. So we'll read about that next week, and that will parallel the timing there. Okay?
Amen.
Yeah. So, Father, and you might want to read these sections. We're just reading Luke. There's, other records of the other Gospels that you can read about this. So, Father, thank you for your love and grace in our lives. And, boy, we read these records of what your Son did and how you allowed him to do this for us is just so amazing and so loving. And we're very, very thankful and grateful that you allowed this to happen so that we could be your children and be in your family forever. So thank you for your love and grace abiding in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.